Well, I get the great privilege of welcoming some friends from Scotland, and most of you here will probably know me from being round about in the northeast. Just a little bit of an introduction for Alan, particularly because we have long-standing friendship, and Pam I've met before when I've been up in Whiteinch. I'm the Church of Scotland minister, as some of you might know. But about 21 years ago, I ended up in Glasgow with YWAM, believe it or not. I was with YWAM, and there was three couples, I think, I remember, were looking and or thinking about doing this thing called church planting. And I remember coming up as a part of a YWAM team. We were praying and just wanting to encourage. And 21 years later, there's a church standing, and they've got their fingers in lots of pies, doing lots of things in the community and around Scotland too. So for me, it's a real privilege when Neil asked me to come up and just share a little bit about Alan and the work there, and Pam's got some stuff. But before we do, I've got a word for you, Mr. Lecturer guy. Yes, I'm a lecturer too. Listen, I don't know. I think there's been a marked kind of rise in things that seem out of the ordinary happening to people that leaves us a little bit like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? I don't know if any of you know, but about 4 weeks ago, we had a young lady in our, a daughter of one of our churchgoers was, you know, quite brutally attacked in Middlesbrough and almost died. And yesterday she started to talk without any confusion. I mean, this girl was almost left for dead, really. And then there's just been a series of stuff that's been happening over the last 3 or 4 weeks that's just made us all sit up in Middlesbrough and think, do you know what? There's something dynamically going on that we all need to wake up to, you know. And I just felt for you this morning, actually. And I leaned over and I asked somebody, I was like, what's that guy? I'm going to share something. And it's this, I just felt like there's something about, there was something on you to wipe you out, but God said there's a legacy, and your children are your legacy, and there's something about you're going to get back on your feet and going to be stronger, because what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn around for good. And you know what, I know you've got a bit of a mission on bike riding, and you know, bike riding can represent ministry and all that kind of thing, but I feel like there's a real step change for you in terms of your input, and I feel like, and you've got to weigh this up, and obviously I'm with Neil here, but somehow when things like this happen, it's a bit of a wake-up call, and I just feel like the dynamic for you's changed, and there's going to be input into your own family. I think there's going to be input into doing some ministry stuff with people, because God's given you testimony, and you know, the real scripture there is about what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around, made for good. And if you look in context, you know, things happen to us because God brings fruit. And I just feel like there's going to be fruit on you, fruit in your ministry, fruit in conversation. Students are going to be touched. You're going to have more boldness and more creativity in the things that you say, because there's a plan for you and there's something of God on you to do some real damage to his kingdom. So he's had a go. The enemy's had a go. Try to knock you out, wipe you out, but I tell you, you're on a bounce back, matey. Okay, bless you guys. Okay, I'm going to just hand over to Pam. Pam's got a few things to share, and then we'll get Alan up.
Hi, it's lovely to be with you this morning. Blessings and greetings from the church in Whiteinch, Bonnie, Scotland. I'd just like to just share a few thoughts that were on my heart this morning that I believe, you know, God's just want to speak. In my lifetime, God has promised me that I will see sustained revival. Not just like a short-term burst, like a few months, but God has promised me that I will live in and I will see sustained revival. It's one of the greatest promises of my life and the greatest passions of my life. So just as we were coming down the road this morning, Alan and I were coming down the road this morning, we were journeying down the car and we went into worship, and I just felt, I just had one of these mornings where I was just absolutely wrecked again in the presence of God, just weeping, just hungry, just so desperate to see a real move of God, like not like the ones of old, because it's going to be totally different, it's going to be totally new. And God keeps speaking and saying, behold, he's going to do a new thing. It's going to spring up. Do you not perceive it? And just as Malcolm was saying, there's something really going on in our land, in our country. Yeah, we could listen to all the bad reports, but there's something else happening in the spirit in our land like never before. And it's time for us just to really be hungry, to really be desperate for that move of God and cry out for that move of God like we've never done before. I really believe God is raising up worship and intercessory prayer in our nation like never before. He's challenging us in our individual lives about seeking him as our vital necessity. You know, the scripture in the Amplified talks about, if you seek me as your vital necessity, I will be found. I will be found. And so it's that, are we seeking him as our vital necessity? Are we seeking him with all our hearts? Are we seeking him with all our desire? And just calling down heaven to earth, just to see an outpouring of his spirit, a move of his spirit like never has been seen before, like signs and wonders, all these things. And you know, this morning it would be easy to listen to all the negative stuff, to listen to all the bad report, but let's listen to God's word. I just want to read from Isaiah 60, and it's from the Amplified version. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and death and darkness all the peoples. But the Lord shall rise upon you, O Great Britain, and his glory shall be seen on you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about you and see. They all gather themselves together. They all come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried and nursed in your arms. And then you shall see and be radiant, and your heart shall thrill and tremble with joy at the glorious deliverance, and be enlarged because of the abundance of the wealth of the Dead Sea that shall be returned to you, and nations will come to you with their treasures. I really believe that's part of the word of the Lord. And I think there's a lot of people in recent times went through really difficult circumstances, felt the oppression of the enemy, felt real intense spiritual warfare. But just as a ball is forced down in the pressure of it, it bounces up high. It bounces up high. And I just want to say to some of you this morning, I know some of you in here have been through some real, real tough times, and I have myself. I totally identify with that. But just to encourage you this morning, turn around, as Malcolm says, what the enemy is meant for harm, the Lord is going to really turn around for good. And you are going to, you felt the pressure, you felt the intensity of the warfare, but you're going to bounce back to higher, higher levels in the spirit, in the kingdom, and see kingdom advancement in all ways, in church planting, and miracles and signs and wonders, and new things in the community such as you've never seen before. New enterprises in God rising up, new businesses, new innovation, all these things rising up, creativity to greater measures than you've ever seen before. And I just want to share one testimony of something that happened recently to one of our guys. I work with the guys that are wanting freedom from addiction in the community. So I'm part of the leadership team that works with those. And one of the guys that was really influential in that community, recently, a couple of weeks ago, he took double pneumonia in his lungs and other infections, and he ended up on a life support machine in a coma, and the diagnosis was really not good at all. And the team went up to pray for him in the hospital. His partner allowed us to come into the, and gave us permission to get into the intensive care unit, and we prayed for him. And we prayed for him, and the nurses had been saying that he wasn't responding to any antibiotics at all, They were lifting the antibiotic doses higher, and they didn't expect him to be out of a coma for at least a week or more. So we went and we prayed, and within overnight, the next day, he was totally out of the coma. Totally, lungs cleared, lungs healed, no infection, and within a week, he was out of hospital. So these are the things, that the signs and the wonders and the miraculous that just want to encourage you with this morning.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you, and thank you for the invite. Come, appreciate that, Neil. Thank you. My name is Alan McWilliam. I'm the, one of the leaders in White Inch Church of Scotland in Glasgow. And I don't know how well. Do you know Craig quite well? Does he come around quite a lot? Would anyone like some background information? Maybe some stories about the sorts of things that he got up to 20 years ago when he was a little younger. And no, I'm not going to do that. But I could do that. I just want them to know that I could do that. Later, if you slip alongside me, I might be willing to divulge one or two bits of information. Anyway, it is lovely to be here, and it's lovely to be in this space. What an incredible building you have. I love the fact that actually, if I get really, really boring, then you can just like look up and like be caught up into the heavenly realms. That's amazing. I don't know why you sit underneath the balcony. You can't see it. It's amazing. You should definitely come out. What an amazing building this is. What a beautiful space. And such a lovely time to be with you and to be able to minister to you as well. Today, I really just want to spend some time encouraging you to be bold, to release the blessing that God has poured into you, into others' lives. So I want today to talk about what it is to be blessed so that we may be a blessing. And I want to start by talking about a lady called Anna. Anna and I kind of got to know each other when she came to our food bank. She came about a year and a half ago, actually, and I was kind of taking her around our food bank. So the way that we do it in our food bank is that we kind of put everything out, and people kind of come in, and they have a certain number of tokens, and then they can choose what they want. So we don't make parcels up. They actually choose them themselves. And that was fine, except for the fact that I realized that actually she got in, and immediately she went for baked beans. And I thought, okay, baked beans, that's fine. And then she went for coffee, okay. And then she went for biscuits. And then she went for more biscuits. And then she went for a tin of soup. And I'm thinking, I know that she has a family, okay? So there's a whole lot of kids in our household. And I kind of started talking to her, and I basically started sort of saying, do you not want some pasta? Or, you know, some like a meal that you could actually feed the kids with, and we just chatted for a few minutes, and immediately realized she doesn't know how to cook. She has no experience of that. She's never been taught how to cook. She's never been taught how to actually kind of put different things together. And so we began to have a conversation about doing some basic cookery classes, And we began, you know, and Anna actually began to kind of realize that there were opportunities for her to do that. So we kind of connected her to our family worker. She went out and met the kids. And as a result of that connection, what then happened was that we then started, through some work that we're doing, we started doing paired reading with the kids. And over the last kind of 6 months or so, the kids' educational attainment has really improved as a result of that. She had a number of issues. One of the issues we found out when we began to actually get visiting into our house was one of the reasons she didn't want anything food-wise was that she didn't actually have a fridge. You know, she didn't have any, you know, she actually, the only thing that this lady had was a kettle and a microwave. She didn't have a cooker, she didn't have a fridge, she didn't have anything. So actually, you know, she wasn't able to actually kind of cook for her family. So one of the guys, who is a kind of total Arthur Daly type, finds things. You know, I don't know. Do you have someone like that in this church that you kind of like? If you want something, you go up to them and you kind of go, "You don't happen to know where? Are they all in Middlesbrough?" That doesn't surprise me at all. Bunch of chancers, right? Anyway, so So this guy called Pat works in a place called the Barras. I don't know if you've ever been to Glasgow, but the Barras is a kind of like a big is an incredible kind of dive of a marketplace. But anyway, he works there and he finds things. Okay, so I said, Pat, need a fridge. Don't you worry, Alan. No problem. I'll have that. Thank you very much. And genuinely, just he finds stuff. I've decided over the years, I'm just not going to ask. I'm not going to ask. I don't think he's stealing them, so I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to hope that he's not doing that. I don't think he is. And he's an amazing guy. Anyway, so this, Anna and her family found some equipment for our kitchen, sorted that out, and began to kind of do that. And I suppose I'm really just sort of telling you the story because we started with a very simple thing, and that was we want to feed the hungry. We're willing to actually kind of do simple things. And actually, as a result of that, Anna and her family's lives have really been turned around now. Anna's not given her life to the Lord yet. Her kids have, but she hasn't. But the thing is that actually we're just continuing to walk with her, pray for her, encourage her, and bless her. And as we do that, what we've recognized is that actually, you know, God is really moving amongst in her life and with her. And it's funny, although she's not come to faith, as I say, her kids are, and she's brought other people to church, and she's connected other people in as well. And I think that sometimes as we think about how do we break out of church, how do we actually connect to those who are beyond us, you know, we sometimes kind of see very gifted evangelists, you know, people who are like obviously great at communicating the gospel and are able to do all sorts of things. And actually we kind of, in some ways we're inspired by that, but in a lot of ways it actually disables us, doesn't it? We actually kind of go, oh, I couldn't do that. There's no way I could do that. That's impossible. But all of us can help to feed the hungry, yeah? I have a wee phrase that sort of says, blessed are the scone makers, for they shall usher in the kingdom of God. And I think that's true. I think that that's true. But scone making, I love scones. As you can tell, and actually, there's lots and lots of people who kind of, if you ask them, you know, could you come and help us with this outreach event, or could you do, you know, something that'll actually help us to share with other people, they would kind of go, oh, no, I can't do that. But actually, they're the most incredible people in terms of hospitality. They are the people who make people feel welcome. They're the people who make folks sort of say, you know, just communicate the fact that actually you are welcome, you're accepted, you're loved in this place. Nothing communicates that more clearly than a really nice scone, okay? And so those of you who are kind of, you know, who feel sometimes actually disabled from connecting beyond the church, or who don't necessarily feel that, you know, you have anything to do, I just want to sort of say, if you make scones, you are right at the front edge of the evangelistic program as far as I'm concerned. And I know that sounds silly, but actually it's true. You know, that I'm telling you that people who want to know about Jesus will only come when they know that they are loved and accepted. They are, the scone makers have come already. The people who want to know about Jesus, actually, you know, the first message that they need to hear from us is, you are welcome, just as you are welcome, we accept you, we love you, just as you are. And that was the message that Anna had to hear. Because actually she felt so ashamed and she was so unhappy about what was going on with her life. And yet gradually, as we just began to kind of sort of say, you know, we love you just as you are, and we accept you just as we are, and we want to walk with you just as we are, and we want to share the blessing that has been given to us, because actually we know what that's like. We know what it's like to feel the needs, the brokenness within us, and God to come and rescue us. We know what that's like. And so we're able to encourage her to walk with her and to see these things happen. So today, I want to talk about this whole thing of being blessed to be a blessing. Let's read the scriptures together as we think about what that could look like. So we're going to read together these two passages. Well, you won't be able to read that up there, but they are, if you've got your scriptures and the Bibles with you, 1 John 4, verse 7 and on, and then we'll just touch into Romans 15 as well. So 1 John 4, verse 7 says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because he first loved us. And then in Romans 15, verse 13, it says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I think I'm really sort of very simple about how I walk with God and my faith, okay? And I think actually Christianity is an incredibly simple religion, an incredibly simple message. And that is that actually that we are people who are loved by God. He has come and he has rescued us. He has poured his blessing on us. And the blessing is supposed to build within us and then flow out from us. And I think that I think that often what happens as we think about, you know, as we think about church, sometimes what happens is we actually get caught up in, you know, we've got to do this and we've got to do this and we've got to do this and all sorts of different tasks. And actually it becomes very focused on us doing things for God and us being active and us being pushed towards more and more things that we need to do in our very, very busy lives. And that, if that's where we're at, then that just doesn't work. And again, I can say more about that in a minute. But what does work is this, that actually it is the overflow of the love of God in us and through us that will actually impact other people. So we are blessed to be a blessing. We are those who are called to just simply allow what God has done to pour out amongst us. And I think that that's, you know, there's a couple of slides. So the next slide, the cycle of works. Again, I'm not sure whether or not you'll be able to see that. I just want to flick through this one onto the next slide. This picture, hopefully, once we get there, is all about how actually we can go the wrong way round in terms of our walk with God and our service of God. So again, what we have in the cycle of works is this, that actually we start from that sense that we have to somehow achieve for God, that we have to somehow be, you know, we have to do our thing. And only as we do that, do we then have that sense of significance about ourselves, and we're able to kind of sustain a walk with God, and only then do we feel as though somehow we're accepted by God. And that is, that's an unhealthy cycle. If you kind of start in that place where actually it's all about, you know, I've got to work, I've got to do this thing, I've got to make this thing happen, then actually it builds the wrong way. But the cycle of grace is the opposite. We start instead from knowing that we are accepted by God. We start to find that actually it's out of our identity as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, that the whole spirit of adoption that falls upon us, that Paul talks about in Romans 8, only then are we able to see a sustained relationship that actually works, and then we know our own significance and worth. I don't know how many times when we do things, God sort of, you know, sometimes we sort of say, oh, I'm going to do this, and then in our head pops a wee thought, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to do this or this or this for God? And the answer is, I am a child of the God in heaven. I am a son of the King of Kings, and my daddy is bigger than anything that you want to sort of say to me. It is a place of real identity and significance and security that allows us then to be able to get involved in achieving things for the kingdom of God. When we get this the wrong way round, which often happens in churches, then what happens is that we drive ourselves into that place of weariness and despondency and just emptying. It feels like we're emptying ourselves and emptying ourselves and emptying ourselves. But when we do it this way, when we actually come from that place of knowing that we are loved by God, adopted into his family, we know our identity, we know our security, then what happens is that the overflow of his love is what allows us to be able to bless other people. Does that make sense? It's a really simple thing to say. I understand it's a simple thing to say, but can I just say it's one of the things, even though it's simple, that people get wrong for years in their walk with God. Years and years. I've walked with people for a long time in church, and actually what I've found is that somehow they've got this the wrong way around, and so they keep on feeling as though they're driven and they're kind of trying to do it and they're trying to achieve, and actually it just tires them out. It wearies them. And I don't know whether or not that's you, but if you feel that, if you sense that today, then I just want to sort of say God wants to turn this thing around. He actually wants to release a spirit of adoption upon you again. He wants to allow you to see that living water welling up within you and pouring out. And actually, only as that happens will you be able to do the things that God wants you to do, to be a blessing to those who are around about you. So I want to talk about what does it look like if we can do that. If we begin to build a culture of blessing, we began, if you go on to the next slide, we began to think about all this sort of stuff through reading a book called The Conspiracy of Kindness by Steve Shogren. If you've never read the book, it's a really excellent book, very helpful. And what it does is it actually talks about how we can demonstrate the good news of Jesus Christ, how we can show acts of kindness to those all around us. And that, for us, is where we kind of started as we began to kind of tip ourselves away from being busy and active and dutiful and all the other things into that place where actually we were trying to kind of pour out the blessings that God had already touched us with and blessed us with. And so we did all sorts of things. So the kind of the wee picture here, you might have sort of seen the guys that are doing free hugs. Have you seen that? People kind of offering free hugs on the streets. It is one of the most ridiculous things that you'll ever come across. I don't know if you've done this. I began to do this a few years ago in Glasgow. I don't know if you've ever been to Glasgow, but standing on Buchanan Street, the middle of the town, with a big sign that says free hugs can be a slightly intimidating experience, or at least it was for about 10 seconds until people started flocking to us. There was about sort of three or four of us. We're on Buchanan Street, and people started coming and going, big man, I'd love a hug from you. And, you know, and that was a woman who said that. and genuinely, we just saw people kind of, you know, men and women, young and old, you know, just coming and receiving it. Now, the thing that I think is a bit strange about this is I think it's strange when people don't ask you why you're doing it. Because so you could be there for an hour, 50 people hugged, you know, and I would sort of say of the 50, I reckon about 10 of them ask you why you're doing it. And I think that's very, very strange. Imagine going along the street and just hugging someone and then kind of going, oh, that's fine, thanks very much, and, you know. The 10 who ask, they say, you know, okay, what on earth are you doing this for? And we say, we just want you to know how God in heaven feels about you, that he loves you and he wants to reach out and embrace you with his love. That's it. Zip. Don't say anything else. And about, of the 10, I would say maybe a 2, maybe 3, will ask the next question. We'll say, so, okay, tell me more about this God in heaven who loves me. And it's just an incredible thing. Just a couple of stories from that. One, I'll tell you 3 stories, actually. So one was, I was actually on Sucky Hall Street. Now, Sucky Hall Street is like the busiest street in Glasgow, and it has quite a lot of security cameras. We've got a lot of CCTV. And we're standing beside, well, I didn't realize this, but we're standing beside one of the CCTV cameras, and we're kind of doing the hugs and all the rest of it. And we just heard this voice that said, I want a hug. And we kind of started looking around like this. And kind of go, but it was just the team. There wasn't anybody else anywhere near. And then we heard it again, I want a hug. And the CCTV camera stand had a wee speaker on it about there. And the guys on the CCTV camera security panel, I don't know where they were, somewhere in their kind of remote control space, whatever it was, they were having a bit of a laugh. And so the guy who was one of our team, a guy called Chris, who was with us, went up and hugged the pole and went, there you go. And the guy went, oh, that was lovely. So that was quite good fun. But we've had other things as well. So one of the most, there's a couple of really touching stories. So one of the loveliest stories was a little lady came and came up to me and said, "Can I have a hug?" And I said, "Yeah, of course you can, darling." And she came up, and as you can imagine, you know, sort of like I somewhat engulfed her with my hello, sort of like large hug. There you go. And the thing was, most people when you hug them, they'll let go after a second or two, because otherwise it gets a bit freaky and weird. And this little lady didn't let go, and I thought, okay, what's going on here? And so you know, you're trying to work out. Am I letting go? Are you letting go? What's going on here? What's going on? Anyway, after about sort of, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds, she let go and I let go and I sort of said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah." And she was just crying. And she said, "My husband died about 20 years ago. That's the first time I've had a hug in 20 years. I just want to thank you for that." And off she went, and we didn't see her again. It's an amazing. These encounters are amazing things, aren't they? Another encounter was when we came across. We do a couple of things. We do kind of free hugs, but we also do a thing where we hold a sign that says sorry. So I was out one day with the free huggers, and they were free hugging, and I was holding the thing that said sorry. And a boy came to the huggers and got a hug, who was quite obviously. A Hare Krishna, because he had the beads in his hair and all the rest of it. He didn't have his robes on, but he had the beads in his hair and all the rest of it. And he went and had a hug, that's fine. And then out of his eye, he obviously saw me with my sorry sign, and he went, "Is he with you?" And they went, "Yeah." And he said, "What's he doing? What's he saying?" He said, "Well, why don't you go and talk to him?" So the guy came up to me and sort of said, what's this all about?" And I just said, "Well, I just wanted to... I'm just standing here to say sorry on behalf of the church, because so many times we haven't communicated that actually God loves people. And I just want you to know that I'm sorry that we haven't made that clear to you. And I want you to know that that's true today." And the guy started crying, which is actually a fairly common experience when coming across me, apparently. Anyway, so started crying. I know it is. It really is. And for a whole variety of reasons, actually, isn't it? Anyway, and this guy started crying, and he said, "Look, I'm a Hare Krishna monk. I have been up and down this street so many times, and I have been spat on, I have been punched, and I have been threatened by Christians who have cursed me as I have walked up and down because I'm a Hare Krishna monk. And I have never heard a Christian speak about a message of the Father who loves him. And I just want to thank you for that. I didn't know that that's what you were all about." You know, interesting. Again, simple things. Feed the hungry. Show love to the outcasts. You know, we're not talking about rocket science. Make some scones and invite people around. I'm genuine, I'm serious. You know, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. We just need to have the courage to say, we're going to do this. And I think that what happens is that when we do these things, what happens is we begin to build faith and courage as we share some of the stories. So you heard some of the stories. You heard Pamela talking about Jamie, who was suffering from pneumonia and was put into a coma and all the rest of it, and who's been rescued. A girl called Breege last week, we were praying for her. We didn't know this. She's a lovely girl. She's about sort of 17 or 18, just that kind of age. And she'd come to an event that we were running, and we were doing different things, but we sort of said, because we were practicing praying for people that were sick. I think that's where it was. And we didn't know there was anything wrong with her, but she actually has no sight in one eye. Again, you wouldn't know. She said, no sight in one eye. And last week we were praying for her, and she said, and she did that I can see thing. And she could see. She's gone and got herself tested out. She's got 80% of her sight back in her eye. We're just praying now for complete healing. But we begin to tell stories, and one of the things that I think is really important for us is that we actually build a culture And this is certainly something that we've been working on in Whiteinch. We build a culture of telling the stories of the great things that God has done. And you know, at the beginning, we had no stories. We had no stories. So what we did was we found the best stories on the internet, and we told those stories. We told stories about healing. We told stories about miracles. We told stories about salvations. And actually, we just kept on telling each other story after story after story of the goodness of God. But I'm telling you that that was about 10, 15 years ago we began to really go after that, building a culture of faith built on the testimonies of the people of God. And as a result of that, now we're telling the kind of stories that actually we used to tell 10 years ago that happened in Africa and all these other places around the world. And I bet you that's exactly the same as is happening here. I bet you have testimonies and stories of what God has been doing amongst you that it used to be that, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you were telling of, oh, the amazing places where revival's breaking out elsewhere. Well, revival is touching here. God is touching here. The kingdom of God is breaking out amongst us. And so what we want to do is we want to build a culture of faith by sharing these stories with one another. And as a result of that, as a result of kind of building that faith and stepping out and doing some simple things, just learning how to bless people, learning how to do simple things, you get opportunities. And one of the most incredible opportunities is the one that Pamela was talking about, the opportunity to work with folk who are coming through addiction and recovery in Glasgow. About 3 years ago now, we were invited to participate in a thing called the ARC. The ARC is not a Christian, despite its name. It stands for the Aftercare Recovery Community. It's a health board initiative that happens in Glasgow. It's to help people, basically it's community cafes running on a week-by-week basis to help people who are coming out of recovery and who are coming into, trying to reintegrate into society. And so they have these things. And they've been running for a few years, about 4 years in Whiteinch. And we'd been invited a number of times, but 3 years ago they came back to us and said, we'd love you to come. Please, would you come and serve? But they said, none of your Christian stuff. None of your Christian stuff. Just come and help us with the soup. Is that okay? And we said, okay, we'll do that. And there's a lesson in that as well. You know, there's a lesson in that, which is we need to go low and humble ourselves and serve our communities according to their needs, not our agenda. But listen, what happened was we went and served our soup for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, what happened was they said, so did you do anything more than serve soup? And we kind of went, yeah, what kind of things would you be interested in? And so we began to talk to them about, well, we pray for healing. And they went, oh, I'm quite interested in praying for healing, so that sounds good. So we have healing rooms that kind of come in and get set up there. And the guys, so there's about 150 recovering addicts who come through week by week. And regularly, just, you know, they have this little healing rooms thing, and people are getting healed. And then they're asking the question, who healed me? And they're getting saved. We began to kind of do other things. We wanted to kind of prophesy over them, because prophecy is a great way to encourage people and to speak about their you know, how God sees them. And so we began to just share simple words of encouragement with them, just words of destiny over them. And again, they're asking the question, how can I get saved? You know, tell me who this is. And over the last 2 years, we've seen 67 first-time conversions amongst the adults, amongst the recovering community. We're a church that's probably the same sort of size as you are. So 67 people coming to faith in 2 years. We've seen more fruit in our evangelistic outreach in the last 2 years than we did in the previous 20 years added together. And so God is doing something as we willingly bless others. So what did we do? We went and served the soup. Is this too difficult for any of us to do? No, any of us can do that. But we had an intention there. We were praying. We were focused. We wanted to kind of give them the opportunity to connect. And so that's what's happened. And so we've seen these folks who have come to faith. And as a result of that, they have gone on to actually kind of form an organization called Life to the Full. And Life to the Full basically is about how we then gather them together and disciple them and help them to actually grow in their faith. It is incredibly exciting but incredibly frustrating because they have come from chaotic lifestyles and they continue with their chaotic lifestyles even once they've come to faith. And then we have to work out what does it look like to actually communicate with them, how do we disciple them, how do we get them into scripture and so on. And we've been doing that. That's one of the things that Pamela is involved in leading. And it's a privilege to be involved in that. It's an exciting opportunity to do that. And what then happens is this. We discovered that, because I don't know how many of you are aware of what happens in the anonymous communities, but the 12-step program actually originated as a Christian discipleship program. Many of you will know that, but it's kind of had a lot of that kind of stripped away from it. But the last step, the 12th step of the 12-step program is this. Let me just read it to you. It says this. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Now, this is Amanda and Donna. Amanda's the one with the ark on the front. Amanda and Donna. And they have worked the program. They've done their steps, have been involved in recovery for a long time. They came to faith, and then they kind of, and then they went back to their 12-step stuff, and they said, hang on a second, we're supposed to, let me get this right, carry this message to others and practice it so that they may be able to be blessed. They automatically understood that what the blessing that they have received, they're meant to give away. And so the conversation that we're having with them now is, okay, how can we help you to spread this through the rest of the recovery community in Glasgow? There's a huge number of these health board initiatives that are happening all over Glasgow. And we quite early on, they began to sort of say, well, we're in White Inch, but we know guys in Drumchapel, and we know guys in Govan, and we know guys in Postle and Easterhouse. And, you know, they just named all of the kind of places in Glasgow that really need a move of God. And what happened was they immediately began to say, we could now take this to them because they all know each other. Because the recovery network is all networked together. They all go to all sorts of different meetings. And so immediately we're seeing indigenous leaders within that community raising themselves up and saying, we're going to give it away. And we're going to give it away again. And we're going to take it to those who don't yet know about it. And so we're beginning to see just an incredible experience of what? Of those who have been blessed becoming a blessing. This is such a simple message. I know it's such a simple message. It's one of these, you know, but listen, we overly complicate what's going on in church. We overly complicate it. And the other thing is, we spend a lot of time focusing on how we maintain what we do here, the gathering, the building, the programs. And although those are important, they will, if they don't drive us out into being a blessing to those who are around about us, then actually, you know, we've missed the point, which is that it is supposed to be the overflow of what God has done for us that we are pouring out into other people's lives. And that's what God wants us to do. So here's some things I've been thinking about, what I've learned. Lessons learned. First of all, that sustainable ministry is basically only the overflow of God's love in our life. The other thing I've learned is this: I've needed personally to model vulnerability and commitment to sharing the good news with those who do not know it. As a leader in the church, I've had to actually sort of say, in my diary every week, I will put, you know, Friday mornings when the ark is on, and Sunday afternoons when Life to the Full is on. I'm committed to doing that. And actually, some of the things that we need to do is we need to, and this is a really good time of the year, I think, to do it, to assess our commitments as we roll into the summer and as we begin to kind of think of what's going to happen next term. That my question, my challenge is there space in your diary to be a blessing to others who don't know about Jesus? Is there somewhere in your diary, week by week, where you are actually meeting with people who are not part of this fellowship, who are not part of this church? And the answer, I'm sure, will be yes. But is it intentionally focused on blessing them? Is it intentionally focused on sharing the gospel with them through your acts of love? Because if it's not, then actually it doesn't count, you know, because it's not intentional. Until it's intentional, until it's there in your diary and you're sort of saying, okay, I go to the badminton club, but I, you know, and in the badminton club, I am actually sharing something of the goodness of God because I am demonstrating something of the love of God. We have folks who go. One of the guys is part of a cycling club, so one of these kind of road cycling clubs. And what he's done is he cycles. That's all he does. He's part of the thing. Go to the end of the, you know, hangs out with them, all the rest of it. But what he sort of said is, you know, I pray. Would anyone like prayer? And if you do, here's my number. He gives out cards to all the members. And he said, text me if you have a prayer request. So simple. So simple. And then what happens is, he then passes it. He sort of says, you know, we've got a bunch of folks in our church that pray. You send it to me. I'll send it around them. We'll pray for you. Tell us how you get on. And over and over and over again, what happens is answers to prayer, and he has opportunities to share the gospel as a result of that. Simple things. Intentionally being amongst those who do not know about Jesus, intentionally seeking to bless them. It's not complicated. It's really straightforward. It's really easy. But it is about intentionality. It is about focus. It is about saying, we're not going to just simply kind of go and do our thing, okay? We're going to work out ways in which we can express the gospel. Sometimes we need to push ourselves past our natural gifting to serve and to connect. And again, that's a simple thing, but it's true. I don't find it. I'm not an extrovert. I'm actually quite introverted. I like time on my own. You know, if you gave me a chance to do that, I would just basically ignore most of you, leave you, because actually that's not my natural kind of gifting. But I found that sometimes I know that I actually have to kind of put myself in a place where I am not comfortable. And that is, again and again, that's exactly the example of Jesus. So Jesus left the glory of heaven, the comfort of heaven, the power of heaven, everything that he knew to be all that he would want. This is what Philippians 2 tells us. He emptied himself of all of that and came amongst us as a man, vulnerable as a child, able to catch the cold like everyone else, to be bitten by the goat like everybody else, to be bullied by the bully by everybody else. You know, he lived amongst us. He did the things. He did not account it as such an important thing that he knew how important it was to come amongst us, to leave our place of comfort. And that's one of the things that we need to build courage and determination about, that we're going to sort of say, okay, what does it look like for me to step into that place where I'm not comfortable? And so, you know, we've, again, lots of stories about that, but we're almost time, so I'll just finish with a couple of things. I think the other thing that I've learned is, I've talked about the whole thing of carving out some time within your diary, and again, I think that's important for us. Building a culture of encouragement, sharing the stories, coming back and just telling the stories. And listen, even if the story is, I prayed for somebody's cold and it got better, then tell the story. Tell the story, because you only build faith as you tell the stories. You only, you know, and you got to take it step by step, bit by bit, and take it from there. And the last thing I want to sort of say is this, that the fields are white unto harvest. There's so many folks that are kind of, you know, that sort of say, oh, you know, that the gospel, you know, that people aren't open, that they're not open to these things. I don't think that's true, and I think you probably experienced that's not true as well. We certainly have. There are hungry people out there who are willing to kind of connect with us and who are just waiting for us to be a blessing to them, to make a connection. And it's the simplest thing. It doesn't have to be complicated. Simple things that point them to Jesus. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you that actually you in this community, there will be literally thousands of people that you are in contact with as a group of people who are desperate to know God. In a situation where the world is clearly being impacted by all sorts of evil forces, where there is confusion and uncertainty, where there is all the stuff that's kind of kicking off as a result of the political situation that we're dealing with Brexit and all the rest of it, and for those of us in Scotland, questions about independence, there's all sorts of things that are just shaking our society. And the reason I think that's happening is that people are genuinely asking the question, surely there must be more than this. And that's why I think you vote for someone like Trump. You vote for someone like Trump because you kind of go, we don't want the standard thing. We're going to take a chance, admittedly, on anything or anyone. And that's why I think that's what's going on. I think that lots of people are asking the question, there must be more than this, must be something happening. And that is the opportunity for the gospel. Because the answer to their longing, the questions that they're actually asking, although they might not be articulating it this way, they're actually longing for a connection with God. They're actually looking for security. They're looking to be loved. They're looking to find purpose in life. They're looking to discover community, loving community. All of that is the gospel message that we can carry. And I just want to encourage you today to say it is absolutely possible for us to do it. Why? Because we have been blessed. And because we've been blessed, we can be a blessing. Not as someone who's going to stand up and preach in the corner, because that's your gift, but as people who feed the hungry, who hug little old ladies, who make scones, you know, who are willing to go and serve the soup. But we do it intentionally. And we do it with a focus on, okay, what will it look like when I'm amongst them to share something of the good news in simple ways? Because if you do that, I really believe that you'll see the harvest come home. So today, I want to just pray for folks. Pamela and I are here. We'd love to pray for folks. Particularly, I want to pray for folks that if you want to see a breakthrough in evangelism, I don't know if you're hungry to see the lost come to salvation, but if you would love to see that in your personal life and in your ministry, we would love to pray for that. We believe that we've caught something of the this harvest that's coming in, and so we want to pray for that. We want to pray for breakthrough in evangelism. We want to pray for breakthrough if you're working with people in addiction. We've seen some significant breakthroughs in that. We've seen people who have literally been prayed for. And they have had, and they've come off their medication, they've come off their methadone script, and they have had no side effects. So we have had people who have actually kind of completely broken their patterns of addiction and who have been healed as a result of that. And we've seen that on a number of occasions now. Again, if you want us to pray for that, we'd love to pray for that. Perhaps it might be that actually the thing that you need is you need to receive again just the revelation that you're adopted into the family of God. You might just need to know the Father's love upon you again, because actually, how can you pour out if actually you feel empty? How can you pour out if you feel that you haven't received it? So I just want to encourage you. Perhaps today there'll be opportunities for you to kind of receive that. And if that's you, we'd love to pray for you. But let me just pray for us as a church together as we press forward into these things, and then I'll hand over to Neil and he'll tell us what we're going to do with ministry time. But let's pray. So Father, we thank you. Thank you so much that you first loved us. you came and you rescued us. You came and you found us where we were still sinners, where we were still enemies, where we were still far off in our own life and our own ways of doing things. You came and you rescued us. You called us by name. You brought us into that loving relationship. You placed your Holy Spirit within us that cries out within us, Abba, Father. You adopted us into your family. And as a result of that, Lord, you have poured your blessing, your love into us. And now the well of living water that is within us now springs forth up into life. It is the overflow that we're looking for, Lord. And so I pray for this fellowship that, Lord God, that this would be an encouragement to be able to press forward, to be a blessing for those who have not yet received that blessing, to be able to connect with them, to be able to do the simple things, to feed the hungry, to comfort those who mourn, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to minister to them. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do these things. Lord, we thank you so much that it's not about anointing and gifting. Each one of us can show compassion and kindness. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would do that. And I ask, Father, that there would be a breakthrough. As we have seen a breakthrough in evangelism, I ask, Lord God, for this fellowship, that in these next weeks and months, that you would open up to them the harvest field. That, Lord God, that they would turn into the field and that they would receive the fullness of the harvest that is there, that they would be willing to go and to bring the harvest home and to turn in and to say, yes, we will do that. And Lord, I just thank you that at the harvest time, sometimes what has to happen is everybody has to, it's all hands to the deck. It's everybody in the field. Let's get the harvest home before it kind of, before we miss the chance. And so, Lord God, I want to pray for them that they would have the exact timing, that they would know exactly what to do and exactly the situation to invest in. And I pray that as that happens, that they too would see salvation after salvation after salvation after salvation. I pray, Lord God, that this place would be full of those who do not know you just now, but who next year will be here worshiping you and praising you and learning how to actually grow in their relationship with you. I want to pray, Lord God, that there would be such a breakthrough. And again, I ask for that breakthrough amongst those who are working with addictions. I pray, Father, if there's anyone in this room that is suffering with an addiction today, that, Lord God, that your power, your love would break into their life, Lord God, and release them from the bondage of all that has gone on, and instead, Lord God, that they would step forward into fullness of life. And I call you by the Spirit, into your Spirit, and I say, rise up out of death and into life. Rise up out of addiction and into freedom. Rise up, Lord. Rise up, I pray, and cause each one to know what it is to become those who are your sons and daughters, free to live the life that you've called them to. And Lord God, I want to pray particularly for those who are from that background, that that curse that is upon them that says, my name is Alan and I am an addict, all of that stuff, Lord God, that would be broken today. That is not their identity. That is not who you've called them to be. They are children of the living God. They are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I pray, Lord God, from this day forward, that they would step into the truth. My name is Alan, and I am the son of the King of Kings. And I pray that out of that place of identity, out of that place of security, out of that place of purpose, Lord God, that they would flow into the fullness of life that you have for them. And I pray, Father, that would happen, not just for those that are here, but, Lord God, for each one who has a loved one who is in that situation as well. The folks, perhaps, that are far from God, or perhaps even far from this place. I just ask, Lord God, that there would be a radical breakthrough amongst those who are suffering from addiction in this fellowship and connected to this fellowship. But more than anything else, Lord, I ask for an outpouring of the Father's love in this place. I ask, Lord God, that you would touch our hearts again with the knowledge that we are your precious sons and daughters, that you have chosen us, you have called us by name. We are yours, and that you pour your Holy Spirit into us, the Spirit of adoption that causes us to well up within us and say, I know who I am. I am the son, the daughter of the King of Kings. And so, Lord God, release, I pray, the Father's love upon us today. Just release it upon us and help us, Lord God, to press forward into all that you have. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you that they're called to be blessed so that they would be a blessing. I bless you for them. I thank you for them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Isn't it good to hear of things happening in Glasgow, similar to what we've been experiencing just more recently? And, you know, this thing of telling stories, you've heard me talk about it so much, about telling stories, and we still haven't got it right in here yet. But actually telling, what hit me this morning more than anything was, you know, I've been talking about we need to tell the stories in here to encourage each other, but we need to tell the stories out there more as well. That hit me very much this morning. And just so much challenge there for us this morning. In a minute, I'm going to ask us to respond for prayer, but actually just felt as I sat there that God wanted us to do something else first this morning. I'd like Alan and Pamela just to stand up again and step forward a bit, because I think we need to pray with these guys. Before we ask them to pray with us, I think we need to pray with them, bless them, encourage them in what they're doing. And if there's something in your heart this morning that says, I want to be part of blessing this church and the work that they're doing, then will you stand with me? And if you want to come forward and get around them and bless them, but let's really pray and anoint these guys for the work that they're doing. If you want to grab the mic and pray out loud, you can as well. So it's not exclusive. Don't feel, well, I can't do that. If you want to pray for them and you want to come forward, come forward. There's room on the stage behind them as well.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, it's you we need. Yeah. This is where it starts and finishes. It's with you. We just need more. We need more of you. We can't do it without you. And to coin somebody else's phrase, we're all in this together. We are. Jesus, come. Jesus, come for this couple. More and more. Make your presence felt. Make your presence felt here as well. Amen.
Yeah. Father, just want to pray for the city that Alan represents, Glasgow. Father, just want to pray. I've just been there, Father, before, and I know that spirit of, I call it the wee Jimmy spirit. You know, I'm a little hard man. And Father, I just want to break that kind of spirit there, that Father, they might see a softness and an openness to your gospel, that facade might break away, and that actually there's vulnerable people, hurting people out there that need the love of Jesus. And we want to see more of that. We want to see more of that in Glasgow and out through the population. And just pray, you press Alan, you just pour more of your Holy Spirit in there, that he might overflow more, that his church might overflow more in power and in grace and in humility and serving and scones, if that's what it takes, Father, and scones. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Bless them, Father, in Jesus' name.
And I just see tracks being laid from here into Scotland. And I know there's something on the church here to go north, but I just see tracks being laid and actually going right into the heart of Glasgow, and it starts as a steam train but ends up being a bullet train. So it's been gathering momentum, but actually there's something of God quickening some stuff up that's taken what's here up there and what's up there down here, and that crossover, that cross-pollination, that sense of working in and being intentional and being simplistic with the gospel, because it is simple. But I see the tracks being laid, and I just want to pray a blessing, Lord, from here to go north, and the blessing of the Northlands to come south, God. And that, you know, it's not about trying to work it up or muster it up. I just feel like the Lord's saying the track's already laid. It's time to get in the trains, because actually there's something about training and equipping going up further north, and something of training and equipping coming down and into the Southlands. And Father, we just bless that whole train and training and equipping that's going north and south, Lord, because eventually it'll go east and west as well, Lord. But I just pray that as well. Pam, I just see you like almost like that mother hen that, I just feel like there's more chicks coming. There's more new birth. There's more being able to pamper and nurture. And I don't know whether you're involved in kind of just that whole ministry with females about making them feel special and loved on. But I see it kind of spreading out and spreading wider. And because I feel like the Lord's saying there's something not just about the community, it's got something wider. And you're going to see birth wider than just Whiteinch, and wider. So get ready for the connections and the dots to start just dotting up Drum Chapel and Garscadden and places further broader around Glasgow, because actually there's lots more new life and birth to happen, says the Lord.
So Lord, we do pray that you bless this church and bless these people and bless the work. And Lord, enlarge them. And Lord, let them see more and more fruit, more and more salvation. in your name. Help us to be whatever we need to be to support them in that too. In your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.